this particular book. And it's one of the good books. They're all good, but I mean, it's one of those pivotal books in the New Testament. And the reason why it's so pivotal is because it was the issue that Paul was dealing with. And as we've said before, Paul was dealing with people who tried to convince these new Christians that you've got to jump through all the hoops if you're going to sustain your salvation. And Paul was saying, no, salvation is not a matter of jumping through the hoops. Salvation is a matter of God's grace, and which I'm glad that he gave that revelation to us. But we got into chapter 5, and we spent the first half of chapter 5. I want to start at verse 13. Paul says, "For brethren, ye have been called to liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you're not consumed of one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Now, we talked about, in the first part of this chapter, the Apostle Paul was letting us know that it is not fulfilling the commandments of the law, but it's walking in the love that Christ wants to put on the inside of us. And that it's like taking the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses and writing them on your heart. Once you get the law on the inside of you, then you don't do the law because you have to, you don't keep the law because you have to. You live the law because you want to. And I'm not talking about jumping through the hoops. I'm talking about Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, it was said in the past if you commit adultery, then that's worthy of death. I'm saying now under this new covenant, if you even desire to commit adultery, that's the same as that other sin. So what he was saying is we need to understand that in the old covenant, the law was external, but now I'm bringing about a new law, which is an internal work of righteousness and living the way you should. Now, what he was saying then is, okay, look, now that you're free from that jumping through all the hoops, then don't use your liberty to give you an excuse to sin. Because we're free now. We can do anything we want to. And one of the things we've had friends years ago that condemned us because of our bondage. And, of course, their liberty was drinking and doing things that were inappropriate for Christians. And my final argument with them about that was, your problem is that you are in bondage to your liberty. You can come into bondage to your liberty. I've got to have a right to do this, and I'm going to do it. I don't care what you say. But you can be in bondage to living free from the law as much as the person was in bondage living according to the law. You need to keep a balance, okay? And the balance is found when you're walking in love. And so, hear this, he says, verse 16, he says, "This I say then." This I say then. Now, when he uses that phrase, he's referring to what he's just stated. Is he going to refer to something he's about to say? What he has just said then is that when you walk in the Spirit. Now, the word walk is a Greek word, which means to order your behavior around a set of values. So he says, if the values are that you're going to walk in love, then he said you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the idea of lust is always, in our culture at least, the church culture in particular, has always had to do a connotation of sexual. If a person is lusting, then there's something sexual going on. That is true. However, the word lust simply means a strong passion. So you can lust sexually, or you can lust after a car. I'm glad you're here tonight, Mike. I couldn't say that like to Rudy, but I can say it to you. Or you can lust after golf. See, you can lust after anything. It's having a strong passion for something that throws you into an imbalance to where your whole life is consumed with satisfying that satisfaction through fulfilling that particular deed, whatever it may be, whether it be cars, sex, or golf. Well, that's kind of bad to compare it. Let's change it. Let's take the golf thing out, okay? Because we know that really, some of the most spiritual times in a man's life is when he's out on the golf course. Yeah. Oh, God, help me. So he's saying in a sense that against the corporate church, make sure that what I want doesn't impose my will upon you. And we can do that with people, you know. Hello. Instead of walking in love with them and accepting the fact that they may not be measuring up to your level of spirituality, we can beat them over the head with our legality, all right, and try to demand compliance to what we believe is right. And what we believe is right may be right, but forcing people to comply with what you want is not right. You making sense here? Okay. Now, then he says, but I'm also going to be talking about your personal life. He says, order your behavior around the Word of God so that you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he specifically deals with that. He says, for the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would, because you're under a constant battle. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. When a person walks in the things of the Spirit, he's not governed by compliance, he's governed by motivation. He wants to do what's right. He doesn't do it because he has to. Now, and he gets into a bunch of sin here. He talks about verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest. They are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which is a unrestrained behavior, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance or jealousies, emulations. Variances are divisions, and emulations are emotional issues, jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, or disorderly conduct, and of such like, which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So when you're involving yourself in that kind of conduct, you alienate yourself from God's kingdom, and you lose the privilege of walking in the blessings of that kingdom. All right? Now, if you continue walking in that way, then eventually, if you go down through here, I think he says, it says another spot. I'll have to come to it later. But the point being is that if you continue walking in that way, you eventually lose your salvation. Now, and losing salvation isn't something God takes from us. We forfeit it. We say, God, I don't want you. I want to live my way. And, of course, in Hebrews, it says if a person continues to live in sin after they have come to the cross, if they can continue to live that way, as long as they walk in that path, there's no hope of salvation for them. You've got to turn around and say, oh, God, I'm sorry, I've been walking the wrong way. I want to return to you. And he's more than willing to be open to us. But as long as I walk in rebellion and I want to do things my way and I don't want to live according to the Word, I want to live according to the sinful lust of my flesh and whatever that may be, then I'm forfeiting my right for salvation. So, you know, Peter talks about, you guys are going to be studying Peter in your Bible study. You'll find that there's a place where he says to make sure that you make sure of your calling. Make certain that it's there in your life. And we do that by making choices to do the right thing. Now, what I want to do here is close with scripture in James. And so I want you to turn to the book of James. Because people all the time ask me, you know, they'll make statements to me, all of a sudden I just found myself, I was doing something I shouldn't do. And I've told them oftentimes, and I'll tell you, that you just don't fall into sin. You choose to do sin. Hello. You choose. You don't just accidentally sin. All right? And But in James chapter 1, he says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. You can put in parentheses there, with evil. He doesn't tempt us with evil. But every man is tempted. First of all, there's no sin in temptation. Understand that? Sin comes following the choice. All right? Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, or ensnared by his own lust. All right? And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Let me read it to you this way. When lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. The word brought forth there in the Greek literally means to give birth. It's the same Greek word that was used when it talks about Mary brought forth her firstborn child. Okay? Now, what we need to realize is that we talked about a couple weeks ago, or a week ago, about, we talked about Sunday, and I talked about this in the previous to that, is that the seed is sown into my mind. Comes in as a thought. Everything in life is a thought. Okay? Then I make a choice. Either I reject that thought. I'm not going to think that garbage because I know that leads. That leads to wrong living. I'm going to choose rather to go after God. All right? So I make that choice. If I don't make the choice to reject the thought, and that thought begins to sink down into my heart. Okay? And what it does is it starts to change the way I think. And I start thinking about it. Then I start meditating on it. And when I start meditating on it, it gets down into my heart. I remember the phrase in Luke, I think it's Luke 6, where Jesus says, let these words sink down in your heart. Remember that phrase? The word sink means to conceive. Let these words sink deep into your heart and conceive. And conception is what brings forth, it produces life. We all know that biologically, okay? The scripture uses that to give a picture of what happens is when we expose ourselves to the witness of the world, the garbage that's out there, it comes in as a thought. It may come as a picture. It may come in as a word. All right? Or it attacks our mind, and instead of, I mean, how many must admit, you know, you're watching the football game on Saturday, and you flip the station, and all of a sudden there's a ungodly stuff going on. I mean, you got to keep turning. You stay there, watch that long enough, and that stuff will fix itself on your mind. Okay, well, because see, our mind receives words, pictures, ideas. I mean, it just all comes in as a seed, sets in our mind. We have to choose. Flip the channel. Everybody say, flip the channel. That's what you got to do. All right? And come back later after the commercial's over. Bad stuff. What happened? Kind of like when I listened to a black preacher talk one time. Hey, and he was, of course, I can't say it how he said it because I'm not black. But anyway, he was talking about, yeah, you guys out there. He said, you see these beautiful women sitting on the hood of a car. He says, you're so dumb, so bound by your lust. He says, you go down to buy that car and you think the woman comes with the car. And it's like we just don't think. Well, anyway, what he's saying here is that when temptation comes, when I've spent time thinking, you see, the devil knows the garbage he puts in your brain. He knows. He's not dumb. Man, he's been around for thousands of, well, untold eons of time. All right? And so he knows when he's put garbage. And so what happens is if he knows you've entertained it, and you haven't spent time throwing it out, he's going to give you an opportunity to give a place of fulfillment for that bad thought. Okay, it's just the way it works. All right. So what James is saying here is you're tempted when you're drawn away of that. And notice whose lust it is. Own lust. Your own lust. It's not the devil's lust. Remember that guy that used to say the devil made me do it? What was his name? Flip Wilson. Ah, the devil made me do it. That devil don't make you do anything. He throws garbage in your brain. You spend time thinking about it. You don't throw it out. You spend time thinking about it. And once you start spending time thinking about it, the devil's going to give you an opportunity because he knows where your weakness is. See, your weakness is always in the area of where you've been meditating on the wrong things. But God's the same way. See, God sends thoughts into your brain that are good thoughts, and he wants you to meditate on the good thoughts. And when the good thoughts are there, you'll have the strength to walk in them. And if the bad thoughts are there, you'll have the weakness to fall prey to it. You'll be ensnared by it, as he says here. And then as he goes on, it's interesting the words he uses here. He says, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is reached its completion, and the same word for finished, the same as brought forth, or the same brought to the point. It's kind of like when the baby comes to term, it's ready to be born. Well, you see, we've allowed sin to enter our heart. We've allowed it to conceive, and it's gone through its incubation period. And then he says it brings forth death. And death is not a cessation of existence. Death is a broken relationship with God. You see, you're not stuck going to heaven whether you want to or not. You can choose to walk away from God. You can choose to walk your own way. But God says, you know what? That's not my plan. My plan is you walk with me, not against me. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against me, all right? So he says, so what we need to understand is that this process begins with a thought, comes into my mind, I entertain it, sinks into my heart, and then in James, In chapter 3 here, he says that what happens is those thoughts turn into words, and those words dictate my life, my direction, however I'm going. And so going back here then to Galatians chapter 5, Paul says now that we've went through this process I'm explaining to you, he says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. Against such, there is no law, or there is no external law. And I put external in my margin because the important thing here is that God wants us to change the way we live by virtue of a nature change, not a legalistic mental change. Okay? In other words, if we're doing what we're supposed to do because someone says we're supposed to, we're really doing it for the wrong reason. Hello. In other words, Mike won't identify with this at all, but when you're driving down the freeway or driving down the highway and a policeman shows up either coming the opposite way or following you, if you're driving the speed that you should be, there's no problem. But if you're driving too fast, what happens? There's a funny feeling there. You're just praying, oh God, I hope his radar wasn't working. Hello? I'm so proud of you, Mike. I'm really proud of you, buddy. Just make sure you set your cruise control for the right speed. Okay, good. So he says here then if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, if we claim to be born again, then let's walk like we're born again. You know, don't be playing the religious game that, well, if I tell everybody I'm a Christian, then I can go ahead and live any way I want to. He says, no, that doesn't work like that. Don't let your liberty become an excuse to commit sin. I love what he says in Romans. In Romans, he says if we experience grace, grace doesn't give us a license to sin so that we'll experience more grace. Live right, think right, talk right, do right. Amen. Amen? Amen? Let's all stand. Father, we thank you tonight that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you've given us some guidelines by which we can live our lives. And Lord, you've constantly told us over and over again in Scripture that there's a path that we can walk. And on that path, Lord God, our warnings, on that path, our guidance and instructions and mile markers and patterns that we can follow. And Lord, if we do what's right, we will reach our destination. But Father, if we choose to choose to plow our own road, to make our own pathway, then Father, you said there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are ways of death. So Father, help us to be willing to follow your word. Help us to be willing, Lord God, to live by what you say. Father, allow your Holy Spirit, please, in each of our hearts and our minds, to change us on the inside. So we do what's right because that's what we want to do, not because of what we have to do. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit will bless every person in this place tonight. Thank you, Father God, that they're here. I pray, Father, that each day that we live between now and the next moment we gather as a group of believers will be filled with peace, joy, and your righteousness. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.